All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is The Pull Bag. I am, of course, TFG on mic. Joining me is Jesse Raz. Hello, sir.
Hello.
And we are here coming to you before this episode of the podcast because Jesse and I recorded the Psychopath and Sins of the Future. God, I forgot what the title was.
It's confusing in however you spin it. You'll find out.
Yes, you'll find out. We are coming to you before these episodes of The Pull Bag because when we initially recorded these, it was before Jason David Frank passed away. So I didn't want to release these and not have a little buffer beforehand because I'm sure that the two of us mentioned him at some point in both of these episodes. And with him passing away, I think it was November. So it was like right before or after Thanksgiving, I think. I don't remember off the top of my head. And off the top of my head is pretty much, I don't know anymore.
He passed away November 19th.
19th. That's, oh, God.
You know, but regardless, so, you know, we'll probably mention him a few times. I think it's in reference to, I talk about Soul of the Dragon. And so we just don't want you to listen and go, man, they're really kind of being blasé. They're not really, wish they would be more reverent. This was, these were recorded before his untimely passing. And so please note that if, you know, anything that we say, we don't say anything disrespectful of him because we love the guy. But just note that if you're like, man, it's weird that they're not referencing that. It's not that we're glazing over it. It just hadn't happened and we didn't believe it would ever happen. And this is the world we live in now.
So. Not this early anyway. I mean, the man was only 49 years old.
Whew.
And and if you want to hear us do a full tribute to both him and Kevin Conroy, you can listen to Geekcast Radio episode 309, where Steve, myself, and Jesse paid tribute to both of them. Now, on with the show, I guess.
This is Jason David Frank, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to The Pullbag. This is episode 503. That's right, folks. We are three episodes over 500. I am, of course, TFG and Mike, and today I've got a psycho with me.
Psycho Gold!
We had Psycho Silver in the show, and then we get Psycho Green in the book. No, we never see a Psycho Gold.
Yeah, I don't know what a dark tray of euphoria would be like. We kind of know what a dark Jason would be like, sort of. Kind
true.
Of.
that's true. That would be. Well, actually, you know what? I don't want a Psycho Gold. I think we're good with the amount of psychos that we have. I go on the fence whether I wanted the Psycho Green back or not.
And okay, so here's the thing, folks. We're going to be talking about Boom Studios. Power Rangers, The Psychopath, and I remember the psychos. I remember the whole arc from In Space, but I don't remember it. So this was like a fresh, whole new thing for like the back of the book. The Psycho Rangers are back. Created by Caron when she was still the evil astronomer, the Psycho Rangers were programmed with overwhelming hate for all things Power Rangers. And it goes on and on and on.
So you don't remember the psychos from In Space, or you don't specifically?
I don't. I mean, I know that they were there. I know that they were evil clones of the Power Rangers, but...
No. I remember the psychos very vividly. So when Space came out, I was probably, 13, 14, I think? Maybe? But, the Psychos were the first thing since the original Green with Evil trilogy that legit made me a little bit scared when watching the Power Rangers. Mm-hmm. I remember when that whole Green with Evil saga came out, Tommy was straight up scary.
Oh, yeah.
As a kid. And then, you know, we didn't really have anything on that level until the Psychos came out because they truly were psychotic. And we don't really get a full backstory of them. We get that in the book, but Astronema creates them and she's using them to leech power off Dark Spectre.
Yep.
And so there's this whole saga of who's leeching my power. Well, we're going to go out there. And the only reason that they actually don't murder the Power Rangers is because, like, she pulls them back to keep the power drain going and all of this stuff. But, like, they were, I mean, they were freaking awesome.
They were.
Like, as villains. And then they got brought back again in Lost Galaxy.
Yep.
Because the only way they were able to really, like, kill the psychos is to turn them in some device and turn them into data cards.
Yeah, the data cards, yeah.
Which is how they come back both times.
Yeah. You know what's crazy?
What?
I was 18 when In Space came out. I was about to graduate. Well, I wasn't about to graduate high school, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
It was close. But, like, next year is 25 years of In Space. Like, what the?
Wow.
Yeah. I just did the math on that. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah, so not to deviate too much from the book, but I remember there's a lot I didn't like about Space, but, like, I remember, like, Turbo really kind of killing that vibe. I was also getting a little older, so there were other things that were interesting to me.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember Countdown to Destruction and watching that and just going, holy crap. So, like, Space, when I read that they were coming out with the Psychopath and that they were doing the standalone, I was pretty damn excited because I was like, all right, that's a story that we need some continuation on.
Yep. And ever since you and I have been doing the Power Rangers things, and I agree with you, you've always been about, we need closure on this, we need closure on that, we need to know what happened to the Zeo crystal. Where is the damn stupid Zeo crystal?
I'm still waiting on that one. But I do, as a whole, I do like these little standalones that that allow you to tell self-contained stories, while the Power Rangers comics as a whole still deals with sort of the Mighty Morphin era and kind of that mythology. You know, I don't need a full In Space comic. That story mostly has been told. These little things allow us to kind of go back and revisit that. The Psycho's Path, the Time Force one, there's now one that was very confusing and convoluted for the Phantom Ranger. You know, so those little things, I like that. This is a really good use of the comic book medium to flesh out Power Rangers.
Yeah, absolutely. So The Psychopath is written by superstar writer Paul Allor. People will know him from some of his TMNT stuff that he's done with IDW. He wrote, I believe he wrote Turtles in Time for them, and he wrote some other stuff for them. Giuseppe Caffaro is the illustrator. Marcelo Costa is the colorist on this. And Marcelo has gone on to superstardom in his own right with Radiant Black and other things that they're doing over at Image. Mm-hmm. So absolutely love Marcelo. Ed Dukeshire is the letterer. Diego Galinda is the cover artist. What do you think of the main cover? The psychos coming up behind Caron and Andros.
I dig it, man. I love the main cover. I really like the artwork in this book.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one of my chief complaints sometimes on various artists with some of these is, listen, I'm up for interpretation of, like, characters and stuff. You know, when we've got, like, generic superheroes, like, you know, we get, like, Superman, you know, that started in the comics, there's movie versions, but, like, this is stuff that is taken from a television series. So it doesn't have to be exactly perfect to look like the actors, but, like, I need something close. And I think they do a really good job of capturing, for the most part, you know, these characters without trying to make them so perfect and particular. So I think the artwork overall is really good in this book.
Yeah. I mean, this is a continuation, as we've said. And as long as the Rangers' suits look accurate to, you know, to it, that's fine. You know, dramatic license is dramatic license, but I still think Andros and Caron and all of them kind of look like the actors. I mean,
yeah. And I think that's, you know, I like that. You know, so, I mean, I was really impressed with the artwork in that. I think that matters when you're, because it keeps you engaged in the story.
Absolutely. especially when they do things like electrocute Carone.
Yes.
And I love that she does not go full astronomer. And it's so weird, and I'm going to mention this now. Now, technically, I know Carone has blonde hair, but they turn her hair purple to show, oh, this is the astronomer personality. And I'm like, wait, is that Glimmer from She-Ra? Like, seriously, she has a pink top on and purple hair.
Like, you know what, though? I thought that was it. I didn't pick up on that on, I think, my first reading, but as I was going through it last night, I like that touch. I thought that was pretty subtle. That was nice, like, especially when she uses those powers. I like that.
No, I love it. I think it's great. I think it's awesome. It's just one of those things for me where I'm the type of person that would, because I've got 42-something years of geekdom under my belt and all that, and I'm like, oh, crap. It's like, holy crap, what's Glimmer doing here? But no, man, this is interesting. I love, like you said, the art is great. I love the backgrounds. I love the effects. Like I said, when they're electrocuting her, that looks just a badass panel right there. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, there's some really good panels in here.
Yep.
Absolutely. No, I agree.
Absolutely. And the basis of the story of this is the psychos want Astronema back, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I had to do, I don't know if they set it up and I just overlooked it. So I had to do some mental math in my head. So this story takes place after Lost Galaxy because, spoiler, if you didn't see Lost Galaxy, Carone ends up taking up the mantle of the Pink Ranger after Kendrix is essentially killed, even though her spirit kind of comes back by the psychos.
Yep.
Which behind the scenes, the actress who plays Kendrix was battling cancer at the time and had to leave. Yeah. And then originally we were supposed to get Cassie back in that role, but the negotiations fell through. But
And I like Carone in the role, and I like the fact that this takes because again, if you're doing a, let's say this is the conclusion of the overall story for these characters, and you had that character in the next series. Yeah, you would want to set this after it, not during it or before it, because it would be silly for what happened to her in Lost Galaxy. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I like that. I don't know if anybody, you know, behind the scenes was like, oh, this would be a great way to give her sort of a redemption arc, but it worked out due to, you know, obvious circumstances. So this takes place after that. And then obviously after the... you know, most of the time, these books are kind of a standalone. You know, they're tied into the series, but they're not tied into Boom Studios proper necessarily. Now, this one, there is a little continuity in that, and I forget which issue, but we covered it, where there, what we find out, there was an original team of Rangers that Zordon created kind of haphazardly to fight Psycho Green. And so I did go back and reread those comics to see how that battle ended with him being trapped on the moon.
Yeah,
just to kind of refresh myself. You don't need it, but I think it is one of those things. It's like, oh yeah, that kind of gives us a little bit more backstory there. So obviously, it's after that. So that's kind of where this whole storyline takes place.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just so good. I mean, just having a comic be like, oh, you're Carone, but wait, you're also Astronema. Oh my god, and. You know, Andros and the rest of the in-space, oh, we want you on our side. But the Psycho Rangers are like, mother, we need our mother back. Oh, my God.
You know the other thing that I'm kind of curious about, and I would assume this takes place before them, but I don't know. And if it's even canon. But, you know, the Legendary Battle and Super Megaforce, right?
Yep.
They all come back. I'm assuming that this takes place before that. Maybe not. Oh. There's no reason it can't happen before or after that. But I'm just remembering that moment in the show when she looks up and she goes, I love being a ranger, and then morphs. So judging by where she kind of is in that moment mentally, I imagine that this kind of might take place between those two events. Real reason why, because, you know, obviously different set of writers, but that would just, in my headcanon, that's kind of where it goes, because when we find Carone, and like after, you know, we kind of start off with the Psycho Rangers throwing a planetary-wide temper tantrum trying to get her, she's still sort of in this, like, trying to come to terms with who Astronema was, what she did, who Carone is. And so she's in this sort of in-between kind of making peace with her past sort of thing.
Yeah, very, very limbo-ish.
Mm-hmm. And which, again, I think it adds, you know, it allows, the comics are really good about adding more realism. Not necessarily darker, but just more realism to where the show can't get to, because it's a kid's show.
Yeah, they can, and that's what we've said the entire time, is that the comics can get down to the, God, I can't believe I'm pulling a Don Henley line out of here, get to the heart of the matter.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, and the shows do it somewhat. They don't do it exactly. Like you said, it's supposed to be a kid's show. It's supposed to be, like, in 21, 22, 23 minutes, not counting ads, you don't have a lot of time. That's why I was really, really skeptical, and this is a whole other conversation, really, really skeptical with Dimensions in Danger. I was like, how are you gonna do that? How are you gonna adapt that? Like, come on. That's a little much.
The thing about the show, and it frustrates a lot of people who grew up with it and are still fans with that. Yeah. Is, you know, again, at its heart, it's a kid's show. Saban, who's no longer in control now, it's Hasbro, but Saban has, he's got a formula that he sticks to, has since day one. He doesn't deviate that from that very easily. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, the guy, listen, you know, it's 35 years later, we're still talking about Power Rangers. So, you know, love him, hate him, agree with him, disagree with him, something worked. And, you know, but one of those things is, you know, he's not big on nostalgia unless it sells toys.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes, like, he'll get away with, you know, he'll do a little bit of fan service, but he's not going to spend a lot of money on it, which is why, you know, in a lot of these reunion shows, you might get one or two back, you know, legendary Rangers in person back, maybe. Yep. Or like in, I don't remember if he was responsible for Beast Morphers, or if that was Hasbro's first one. But, you know, that anniversary episode, we got Jason back.
Yep.
And only we got everybody else in costume, but we got him back. So, that's, now that Hasbro's in kind of doing their thing, I don't know that they'll deviate from that too much, because Hasbro's a toy company too. But we'll see. We're, you know, this big anniversary, there's a lot of people coming back, which is really exciting. So,
yeah, everybody's freaking out. And then they're like, oh, look at his patch. It's okay. It's fine. And I'm just thinking, forget the patch on his uniform. I just want the damn Frogzord back. That's all I want.
I know. But anyway.
Yeah, so this is very, very cool. This has so much in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, the Psychos, they're not just Astronema's monkeys in a barrel, or they're not just her lackeys kind of thing.
They actually
have personalities. They want to be, you know, like, they want names, they want this, that they have wants and needs, and they are people. Now, they're not the most best of people, since they're technically supposed to be, I mean, in the beginning, All of this battling between them and the Space Rangers and all that before Carone's like, yeah, I'm going to reprogram you. And then they're like, oh, hell no, you're not, bitch. You ain't going to fix us. But I like that, because I like that. Again, that's the deepness that the show can't get into. Like, oh, my God, you want to fix us. You want to change us. You want to. Yeah.
So, okay, so do we want to go kind of dive in to the story? And then, because I've got more thoughts on the Psychos, but I want to wait till we get to that part of the story because it is very interval and I have mixed feelings about a couple things. So,
okay.
But, you know, we get started and, I mean, I love that we jump in right in the action. Like, we're in KO 35, they're shooting up the planet, they want her, and then you get, like, that they're still ruthless, they're still psycho there. I mean, she obliterates the guard that's trying to keep Rog. They obliterate her right away to get to Caron. So you already know up front that they mean business. And then, you know, we also get the In Space Rangers. We, you know, they cut to them fairly quickly on the Astro Omega ship Mark II. They don't say it, but according to Forever Red, it's the Mark II.
Yeah.
You know, we even get Zane making an appearance. So, I mean, I love that part of the story. We get along and, you know, we find out Andrew still has some mixed feelings about his reunion with Caron and what's going on and her, all of that stuff. So I thought that was a really solid way to start it.
Yeah, it is a very solid way to start it. It's again, you want to start out somewhere where it's going to capture the audience. I mean, again, you've already mentioned it, but look at Forever Red.
Yep.
It starts out with Andros hiding out at the dinner party and then finding out the information and then getting on his galaxy glider Hang 10 and flying away. You know, and that's what you want here as well, even in comic form.
Yeah. So we get started and then we eventually cut back. Psycho Green is locking up Caron or, you know, trying to basically put another reprogramming on her and turn her back to Astronema.
Yep.
And she starts laughing at him. She's like, you know, that's funny. You think that you have to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and here's why I say we don't have to, you know, you don't have to go back and read that arc from the Boom Studios Power Rangers is, you know, he recaps a little bit of his moon fight, with the unknown Rangers. Although you can't really tell, it looks like they kind of drew the, you know, Mighty Morphin team that we look like and not the Grace Sterling team. Because maybe that Red Ranger's female, but it is a little hard to tell. So I kind of wonder if they.
You mean Psycho Red or in Space Red?
No, in Space Red. So, you know, on that panel where he's telling her about, you know, fighting.
Fighting
on the moon. You look at that panel and it's kind of, they made it ambiguous enough that it could be the Grace team. Or if you don't know, it could be the Jason-led Mighty Morphin team. But I was like, huh, was someone not up on that? Or?
So I think it is Jason's team because.
But Jason seems not the one that fought Green Psycho.
Oh, that's right. It was Grace's team. It was Grace's team.
Yeah, so that's why I'm saying.
I'm trying to remember in the continuity of the comic because in the continuity of the comic, Grace's team versus Jason's team. Grace's team was 20 years before Jason's team, so that's what I'm. So it was 1973, not 1993.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to remember. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So they fought him and he got trapped in the moon.
Yep.
You know, somehow but he killed like three or four of them.
Yeah.
In the process. And so that set that chain of events, but like he doesn't pop back into the MMPR continuity in any of that universe until now.
Yeah, until now he's back.
You know, yeah. So that's when, you know, he talks about, you know, getting out of there and kind of figuring out, oh, crap, I've been asleep for a bit. I mean, he kind of pulled a Rita Repulsa and it's like, oh, all this crap has already happened. You know, and that's kind of his backup word. So that's why you don't have to go back and read that storyline if you don't want to. It is really good. But because he recaps that a little bit for you here, and then you know, mentions getting the cards, which I went back and watched the episode from Lost Galaxy just to make, I was like, is that a continuity? Didn't they destroy the cards? Turns out they didn't. So
no, they didn't. They put them nice in. Yeah.
Nice way to fix that loophole and stay within continuity. So, I mean, I'm already, I love when they can do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. So anyway, we continue on. There's this, this great back and forth between, you know, they're kind of having a who has the bigger evil dick kind of thing. They're both sort of whipping it out there. Which is kind of fun to see because, you know, you think you have the upper hand. No, you do. And then I love that panel with her smile and the purple hair. It's just so bad. Like, so evil.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely evil. And then we go to Psycho Ranger Boxing Day.
Yes, absolutely. You know, they go back and forth, and then, you know, you find them sparring. So yeah. I guess this is a good spot to get into it. How do you feel about seeing the psychos demorphed?
Because I never had an attachment to them. Like I've already said, I barely remember. Like, I knew they weren't just your, like I've said, they weren't just upgraded versions of putties, or they weren't Z putties or A putties or B. What, they weren't anything like the putties because they're actually people. I like it. I think it's cool because, again, you're not trying to turn, well, technically she is trying to make them better eventually, but she's not trying to do it maliciously to the point of, but to see that the psychos aren't just somebody's army building kind of thing. Like, they aren't just, like, at some point, I don't know when I'm going to do this, and I've been meaning to do this. At some point, I'm going to go on eBay and I'm going to buy a bunch of Horde Trooper Funko Pops because Horde Trooper building for She-Ra is a thing. But, like, that's not this.
Right.
These are individual people, so we need to see the individual personalities, especially since we've already seen Psycho Green out of, like, he's not just a Jim Carrey mask that flips out at night and dances on things and does whatever, you know. So I like it. I think it adds to the story, and I think it's really fun.
Yeah, no, I certainly agree. I don't know. There's I think to tell this story, you have to show them unmorphed as like actual, for lack of a better term, humans, even though most of them are they're all alien. So you have to show them as like real beings and not just this sort of, which I think it's good that you do that, but it does make them a little less scary. Like, I'm glad on the TV show you never saw them unmorphed because that takes away a little bit of the fear. So I guess, you know, in that sense, you do have to do that. But I was a little, I guess I'll say initially disappointed because I was like, oh, they're not
just the human copies. Yeah. They're not just Jason copy, Trini copy, Zach copy, Kimberly copy. But I like that. I think that's good. That adds to them. Because if you had it just be a copy, you'd have the whole storyline of, well, which one's the real one? Which one is the real personality?
Which we've gotten ad nauseum
so many fucking times before. So, yeah, no. So, yeah, having them be individual personalities, having them demorph and seeing that, again, they are actual people, whether they're aliens or not, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, people are people.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So you know, that was my kind of, I was kind of on the fence about it. I think you have to do it to tell the story, but.
Oh, absolutely. Just, you do. Yeah.
You know, but it's just interesting. And, you know, hearing her talk about destroying these people and then sort of rebuilding it up, it kind of, you know, I don't know how much of this was all her, how much of this was Dark Spectre, you know, kind of picking them and doing that, but it is, you again, you get this sense of like just how awful and how tortured these people were. And you kind of, I'm glad that we didn't go way back and see like their backstories individually of Estrada kidnapping them. We don't need that. Like, I'm glad that she addresses it.
Yeah, all we need is the one line she says right here. It's been a long time since I've seen these faces.
Right.
That's all we need to know. The time has, and like you've already said, and I've already said, this takes place after Lost Galaxy. So a lot of time has passed, and, you know, that's all we really need. Now, I will say, if Boom Studios ever did something, because I haven't been keeping up, I need to, in 2023, my ultimate goal is to catch up with a lot of stuff, and that's one thing I need to catch up with.
Yeah.
But if Boom Studios wanted to do a Psycho Red one-shot, Psycho Blue one, like, to show us the character. I mean, if they wanted to, I'm saying they could.
Again, Zeo Crystal story first.
Yes.
Mr. Crystal.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, going off of your point of, we don't need their backstories in this story because this is more of Psycho Green story, Corone story, slightly less of Andros's, but he's there and he's her brother and all that.
Well, we've seen enough of Andros's. that's what all of In Space was.
That you're not wrong. I'm just saying that I didn't want to just discount him to say, like, he is also here and he is also affected by what goes on in the story. But I'm saying, like, in the future, if they wanted to do something with the psychos and explore their personalities, they could. It just would need to be separate from.
I'd rather see something about them where they go after this. If they choose to do more with it. But speaking of Andros, you know, after this initial confrontation, he and Zane are trying to rescue Corone, falling back into that sort of trap that he fell into in all of Power Rangers in Space. Like, she's my sister. I've got to find, which I don't know. He's probably my least favorite part of this book. Not that I didn't want him in there. I don't know. I there's not a lot of growth out of him, you know, whereas like, I feel like even the like few times we see the other Rangers, I feel like there's a little bit more character growth, obviously, as we've gotten time. Yeah. Andros is falling into that, but she's my baby sister. I'm responsible for, like, kind of thing. And it's like, dude, I don't know. He was kind of but you need somebody to tie the Power Rangers back in. So he kind of serves that role, as a protagonist,
And he does it well. And again, like I said before, I like the fact that Corone and Astronema are treated as the same personality. So that way you could have the character go either way. If she's going to go full evil and join Psycho Green, or if she's going to do the right thing and go good and be Corone, you could have her do that. Andros, at best, he's there as support, like you said. Yeah. He's there as the leader of the In-Space Rangers. Even the In-Space Rangers, we need them here. I'm not saying we don't need them here. We do. But the heart of this is Corone and the psychos and their personalities. So
I think the In-Space Rangers are in this, like, the right amount.
Yeah.
And I will say the other role that Andros kind of plays is, when you're reading this, you do kind of get it. They do a pretty okay job of, I mean, you know, it's a Power Rangers comic, so you know about how this has to end with Astronema anyway, or Corone. They do a pretty good job of sort of walking this line, where there are times where you're like, well, wait, is she really going back to this? Is she kind of leaning more evil, or, you know, and Andros is there to kind of put those seeds of doubt into you, because he has those. So you're kind of traveling along with him, kind of wondering, is she really bad again? Is she kind of falling back into that? Was she ever really good? Kind of. So he does help you kind of make that sort of question. So there is a little bit of back and forth on that.
Yeah.
But we ultimately find out that their plan, now that they're united, is to find this secret weapons development lab of Dark Spectres. And so they're on this hunt to try to find it. And ultimately you find out Green needs Astronema. It, you know, you think ultimately like, oh, it's about family and there probably is some, but ultimately though, in his plan, he has to have her.
Yeah, absolutely. He does.
You know, and then we get into this fight sequence with some older monsters that are just sort of lurking around. And we get this really interesting panel. They're fighting, which I don't understand why they didn't morph, or at least like Psycho Pink doesn't morph here. The other psychos do, but she doesn't. And so she gets attacked and she ends up getting injured. And Green is trying to get her to, you know, get Caron to essentially murder her so they can regrow another one.
Yeah.
And Caron's like, no, that's not who we are. Which creates this sort of internal fight between what, you know, there's a little bit of that, like you mentioned earlier, of that, what does it mean to be real? Because if you can just, engineer a new one, then are they really real? Does that discount their current experiences? Like, what does that mean? And so she's kind of drawing a line in the sand here. Like, no, we're not just going to, we're making progress. We're not just going to start over every time someone gets a paper cut.
I mean, if that happened, humanity would be in a very different place right now.
Right? There'd be bodies lying everywhere.
Yeah. It would be Wall-E, except not actual.
It'd be what Wall-E actually should have been. You know, they never really show you that, you know, you've got that building made out of.
Do we really want to see what's in that compressed garbage, really? Right, no, we don't. You know,
the corpses of everybody. That's the other part of town that Wall-E just wasn't working in that month.
No, he wasn't.
So,
what I love about this is even though they have these battles and they're going up against Psycho Green and he's kind of the main baddie of the book, because Caron is the second Pink Ranger here, I love how she and Psycho Pink have a connection. Again, showing you that the Psycho Pink character is not just a carbon copy of whatever. Right. Like, yeah, I absolutely love that. I think that is so cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I like, so one thing that, and we don't know this, so I don't know if Caron still has her Lost Galaxy powers. I mean, obviously by the end of the legendary battle with Super Mega Force, she does. Mm-hmm. So we can assume maybe she does that, but I like to think that she does. But she's consciously not doing it because, as is mentioned in these next couple of panels, when she's fighting with Psycho Red, like, the mere mention of Rangers will set them off.
Yeah.
And so I think she knows if she were to morph and use her Power Ranger powers, it would pretty much, I mean, that's like offering an alcoholic a beer, you know? Yeah. I think she's very aware of that.
But she does morph. That's Cassie. Oh yeah. Hold on a second.
Yeah, that's Cassie. That's not
correct. Okay. Oh god, yeah. I'm losing my mind here. Yeah. I look, dude, there's three Pink Rangers in this book, and I'm like, right. Wait a minute.
But that's something she never does. And yeah. I do, you know, and so you know, so it kind of leads to that exchange, and I'm like, you know what, that's very smart on her part to not, you want them to trust you. So kind of throwing out there that you are a full-fledged Power Ranger, probably not the best way to go.
And she already has one personality to deal with.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying her morphing creates a third, like, this isn't the Judgment. No. This isn't like Harvey Dent creating a third personality or something. I'm saying that she doesn't need the added pressure of, oh, holy shit, Astronema's a Power Ranger now. Yeah. Oh my god, we have to kill her. We don't want her back. We have to kill her. Right. So, you know.
So it kind of undercuts that. And then, you know, you were talking about her connection with Psycho Pink. You know, that's really good storytelling because they have this great exchange in the infirmary bed about why I didn't reprogram you. And then this was a really interesting touch to try to get them to connect a little bit with humanity and morality, she has them watching Westerns, which I thought was, okay, that's really, you know, it is very black, not just, it's not just a black and white movie, but yeah, those old school Westerns were very, this is right, this is wrong. So, I mean, it's a good way to introduce those sort of morality bits.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, as boring as I find old school Westerns, because they just stand there and it takes forever to get... It would be like if I, in the editing, somehow figured out, you know, I started using my slow-mo and I just started slowing our voices down and we started talking like this. Mm-hmm. And no, don't do that. But yeah, no, I mean, showing them that, again, it reminds me of, I know everyone hates this movie and that's fine, I don't, but... We're also coming up on the 30th anniversary of that film, too. But next year is 30 years of TMNT 3. Reminds me of Casey showing the Oriental Guards, this is hockey. Oh, hockey. Me like hockey. You know, it reminds me of that. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, you're right. What she is trying to do is she is trying to show them that there is a path that they can choose. I'm not going to sit here and say it's a better path, but there is another, like, you don't have to be used for evil. You don't have to be evil. If you choose to, like Psycho Green, he evil. Like, there ain't no coming back from that.
Well, yes and no. So, you know, the thing is, though, is she does, and this is where, again, they kind of leave it a little ambiguous at first, you know. Mm-hmm. She's talking to them about how to be a different kind of evil because they were, and I think they say it later, like they were blunt instruments.
Yeah.
She's teaching them about finesse, which is what Astronomo was. You know, she says, I'm trying to show them a better way to accomplish their goals. And, you know, cause Green sees through this a little bit. Green's got Green wants an army.
Yep.
You know, he calls it a family, but in his mind, they're the same.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's working on trying to repair that machine in case he needs to actually brainwash. And there's a good exchange where, you know, you kind of find out some of them are drinking the Corona Kool-Aid and Yellow's kind of on the fence about it.
Yeah.
You know, and then we get kind of a montage of her, you know, teaching them non-lethal techniques. And we see it kind of pay off where they finally get the information they need. And then, you know, in the luckiest bit of exposition ever, Andros just happens to stumble upon the planet they're currently on.
Yep.
I was like, okay, dude, space is not that small. Seriously?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it works for the story. I mean, you would think that, again, he's trying to find her. He's trying to help her the best he can kind of thing. And, I mean, it's not like he went next door to KO-37 in a row.
Well, that's, you know, I don't know if they give the actual name of this planet, so it might be KO-63. it's the sugar planet. That's where everyone in KO-35 goes over to borrow a cup of sugar. So, you know, so they get down there, they're fighting, all that stuff. Andros sneaks aboard the ship, a la Andros style. And so then, you know, we get this sort of, Green sounds the alarm. Caron's trying to figure out what the hell Green's doing. And so this is kind of the Psycho's first test of what do you do when you see a ranger?
You start shooting at him.
Pretty much. you know, this whole sequence is really interesting because I'm like, how big is this damn ship? Because, you know, they're going and he's trying to rally up the troops and, you know, Green runs into them and then runs away. And so I'm like, well, how big is this ship that they can essentially hide, have this long, drawn-out conversation of, are you good? Are you bad? Are you not? All this stuff. What are you doing? I can't believe you. And no one runs in there and starts shooting until Well, no one runs in there and starts shooting.
Yep.
But she sort of explains how it's her responsibility. She's trying to fix this. You know, mm-hmm. She fucked them over. She needs to do this as part of her redemption.
Yep.
You know, which Andros, and I will say rightfully so, is like, they tried to murder us. They almost did.
Yeah.
Several times. Are you crazy?
Yeah. Yeah.
So he does have a good point.
Yeah, no, he does have an excellent point.
And I think he does bring up, they killed a Pink Ranger. Like, they straight up murdered Kendricks. No matter how you look at her soul coming back, whatever. I don't remember how they retconned that, but they fucking killed her. So he does kind of have a point where he's coming from. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I love the exchange between the two of them as we get further along with, you know, he says, you know, I'm your family. I'm this, I'm that. Yeah. They shouldn't be your family.
Right.
And she throws it back in his face. Really? You of all people don't understand. They were people just like me. They were destroyed, broken, and reprogrammed just like me. They were turned into weapons just like me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she basically...
You have to say, she does a really good job of drawing the same parallels because, mm-hmm. and this didn't occur to me until just now, but like the way he's treating her about trying to redeem the psychos is a little bit like the Power Rangers when he was trying to redeem Astronema, especially after like mm-hmm. Dark Spectre put the like robot and, you know, that really terrible red wig, and she never got any more, you know, those cybernetics in there. You know, the Power Rangers kind of wrote her off, and Andros refused to, and so there is a little bit of a parallel there. I didn't really catch that until just now. So,
yeah.
You know, her calling him a hypocrite makes sense.
Absolutely, and she goes on to say, I can lie to everyone else, but I won't lie to you. And mm-hmm. we get the reveal of... She could not. It wasn't right for her to reprogram that.
That comes at the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we get there, though, you know, we have this. Green's kind of trying to use this as an example to get the psychos back on, kind of on his side, and we get my favorite panel in this entire thing. Let's go, Psycho. I love that morphing call.
Yep.
Oh, I love that panel. It's so good. And
it is so, so
it good. harkens back to those Psycho battles in Power Rangers in Space.
Yep.
And I do like, this is really good writing. They show that the Psychos have learned a lot over the course because... You know, you have that panel of yellow fighting blue and, you know, him mm-hmm. calling it out like, wait, what a minute. Wait, what the hell's going on? Normally it's we got like some blue on blue action here.
Nope. Nope. Not this time.
You know, their whole strategy is changed. And so good writing on their part, you know, of kind of showing how far they've come since the Rangers last saw him.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And it's red, black, yellow, blue, and pink mm-hmm. who are all fighting. And what I like about this book is that that's the only morph we get in the entire series.
Yeah.
That's the only, and honestly, that's the only one we need because this is the psychopath. We do, mm-hmm. again, the In Space Rangers, love them. Love all the characters. They're fine, whatever. Yeah. But they are secondary to the main plot. Mm-hmm. And they are, you know.
Yeah. Which kind of goes back to what we said in the beginning. Like, mm-hmm. this would never play out in the context of the TV show or anything because the formula in Power Rangers, and again, it works because, not to go too far on a tangent, but... you know, the movie remake
yeah.
that came out, I enjoyed it, but one of my biggest criticisms and one of the reasons why I think it failed to kind of set off that Ranger World reboot is we don't get an actual morph until about halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get Power Rangers, like the suits, all of that until a half to two thirds of the movie. And when you go to see a Power Rangers show, movie, whatever, that's a problem. That's why that formula, we don't get Zords till the very end for a little bit, you know, whereas in this book, you can get away with that a little bit because you have Psycho fight scenes and stuff in there, but yep. You don't need the full Ranger thing. That's why, you know, I think this works so well as a book. I don't know whatever get an opportunity to translate because of how little morph action we get, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they would have to add morphing sequences or something. Yeah. But the thing is, and I've read this book multiple times over the mm-hmm. last couple of months. The In-Space Rangers, they are the good guys. They're not the bad guys or anything else, but it's, as I said, they are second. The Psycho Rangers are the Rangers of this book. So that's the only morph sequence. Like, if you want to add another one, like when they demorph later, if you want to add another one for the final battle, fine. But the fact that we only got one Let's Go Psycho, that's fine with me because they are the stars of this book. And it's exploring, even though, and we've already said this, even though they don't explore too much of each of their individual characteristics, we get enough and it works. It just works.
You know what's interesting, though? I will, this book kind of, for a Power Rangers book, is fairly complex. Because what I'll say is, the Rangers aren't necessarily the good people in this book. They aren't the good guys.
Yeah.
Because, yes, the Psychos might kill them. Yes, the Psychos have done bad things. But, you know, Caron is trying to redeem them, and they're trying to outright murder the Psychos. So it is an interesting flip in dynamic there. And I won't say that that the Power Rangers are necessarily wrong, you know?
Yeah, they're not.
I can't say that they're incorrect in their logic, but they are sort of the bad guys. They're taking that, they're taking that stance there, whereas Caron is kind of that, no one's beyond redemption in that sort of Power Rangers vein. But what got me and what was really interesting, and I'm glad you kind of, alluded to how the book kind of ends, but like, we finally get in, Caron and Andros get into Green's secret room and we get access to their key cards. And Caron's plan is to reprogram them to essentially have more empathy.
Yeah.
And then kill them and then regrow more empathetic psychos, which is very opposite the way she was before. So it's like, okay, wait a minute. This is, I don't know. I was like, well, that's a really interesting choice, especially as she fries her brother.
Yeah.
Not wanting to.
Yeah. Well, the thing is here, I'm looking at the panel where it's her versus Pink, and Pink is like, we're not good enough. That's why she's trying to save us, to make us worthy of her, blah, 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 blah. As you go through this panel, you see the anger on Psycho Pink's face and the sorrow on Caron's face, and she holds the gun up, and she's still, kind of frowning at her, and Psycho Pink just screams at her, do it!
And it's like, we're kind of skipping over, what is some really good battle sequences between the Power Rangers
the greatest piece of the battle sequence of this entire book is when Psycho Pink shows up and shoots Psycho Green in the back.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
The whole battle sequence, kind of like I said, it's a great example of how they've changed, not just from a moral standpoint, but like they're smarter. They're more dangerous now, the way they trap the Power Rangers, all that good stuff.
Yep.
But then, we kind of cut back into this, again, this moral dilemma of, okay, I've reprogrammed you to be more empathetic. I just got to murder you. And honestly, I was kind of that line that you said where like, no, we're not good enough. That's the point. Like, man, that just kind of hurt because that's kind of countering, you know, Caron's been trying to teach them that they could be better, you know, that they should be better. And all of this, you know, back and forth. And yeah, when Psycho Pink turns on Green, I think it's great. And that's when we learn she finally took a name. You know, she the whole story, Caron's been trying to get them to take names and they've resisted. But so she's Nakria. You know, so she takes that name, which kind of signifies that she is an individual, which I think is a is very significant in that it tells Caron, I can't, they have progressed. They have become good enough. And it would be wrong for me to kill them and reprogram them and regenerate them. And all of this back and forth, this, I mean, it's a very deep sort of moral dilemma. And we're led to believe that she murders them outright to regrow them. And we get this one panel, which again, kind of talking about like parallels between the psychos and the in space, we get this panel of her carrying Andros with the psycho ship layering off in the distance, a la Countdown to Destruction, where he's carrying her out of that ship.
Yep.
If you remember right. So that was a really nice throwback. But then, you know, then we get this ending where she tells Andros the truth about what she actually did.
Yeah. And it's good because, you know, if they, I mean, it's just really, really good.
You know, I like that ending. I don't know if I would have been comfortable, if I would have enjoyed this, if the original, you know, if she had murdered them all and then regrown them, because it just would have been so counterintuitive to the message of the book.
Yeah.
So I like that. And I actually really like Andros's reaction here. I know you know, he's not been my favorite part, but I think this is one of those times where his rigidity is justified here. Because she's taking a risk with his life.
Yep.
And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she's taking a risk with his life, and just like, you know, again, this is very mirror to what In Space was and to what Lost Galaxy was. And it's a good reflect, like, it also reminds me of how bad the reflection was in Captain N's mirror world, where they had to save Lana's father, and there's evil you know, it's the whole mirrorverse thing has been done before. It's been done much better in other things, and I'm not saying that this is bad at all. I'm saying that this story completely mirrors, because again, Caron and the psychos are supposed to be the heroes. Because she, like you already said, she's trying to teach them there is another way. We're not saying that it's better or worse or whatever. We're just trying to show you that two paths diverge in a yellow wood, you know. anytime I can bring out the Frost Man.
Well, I think the real thing with Caron, though, is I think what she's trying to do, I think she is trying to show them that there is a better path, but I think she's trying to take these individuals that she destroyed and help them and help make them into something better than what she created. And at least allow them to be actual individuals and not just these blunt instruments driven purely on hatred of the Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Because that's all they were. That's why that ultimately led to their destruction, was their single-minded obsession with the Power Rangers. And so by giving them more personality, uniqueness, individuality, yes, she does make them more dangerous, but she also allows them to choose their own path, even if that is of the evil sort, or maybe not. I don't know. And we find out toward the end here from Psycho Green that all of their names, we got Nakria, Axe, which is hilarious because the blue psycho and his love of his axe, Virgil and Photon. But we never hear that if Yellow picked one.
Interesting.
Because he says, it's going to be it's going to absolutely break my heart as I whisper their new names when I snap their necks.
One Nakria by one.
And Axe, yeah. Virgil and Photon and Yellow, sweet, smart Yellow. So I guess she doesn't end up taking a name, but again, her choice.
Yep. And I know this is wrong of me, but when I saw Nakria's name, I'm like, and I know Paul, this is just me inferring. So this is my fault. Not the right. Nakria. North Korea. Really?
Oh my God. I did not go there.
You know how I am. I always have to go to the. Overall, I love this book. I think this book is really awesome.
Yeah.
From the art to the writing to the lettering to how it's edited and put together, it's a story that every Power Rangers fan should read. And it's just fun.
It is. And I like the way it ends with the psychos kind of going off and charting their own path. And that's why I think I don't need any more of their backstory. It's so my general feeling on prequels, unless it's going to make me look at the source material differently, it's not necessary. Like a great example of a prequel that did that was Rogue One. Rogue One made me appreciate A New Hope in a completely sort of different way. It didn't change the experience for it, but I did kind of get a heavier sense of what had just happened.
See, and for me, I don't remember. So we covered Rogue One here on the Geekcast Radio Network a couple of years, like a number of years, whenever it originally came out, we covered it. So that was what, 2015, 16, 17.
I would say it's pre-COVID. So
yeah. So, but I don't the only thing I remember from that movie is the ending. So I need to go back and I need to rewatch that movie. But I'm not going to do that until I watch Andor first, because Andor is the prequel to Rogue One with his character. Generally, prequels, I don't like. For me, if I was setting this up and I was going to bring the entire creative team back, if they wanted to come back and do this, I would say to them, create a story for each of the psychos that has them in a present day battle. And then the final issue would be them teaming up, would be a collaborative issue, but the rest of the issues would be them fighting whatever villain it is, whatever small. And then obviously the big thing would be, oh, make my monster grow, whatever. But in their individual issues, have them be in the present, but also have it do a flashback to, like, kind of show, like, where they came from, but where they are now. I don't know. It's, I don't know.
Because here's what I'm afraid of. The psychos are fucking terrifying, man. And so, like, what you get from this book is you get a little bit of understanding with them and a little bit of humanity.
Yep.
But I don't think it's enough to take away that terrifying aspect from in space. When you give them a prequel and you make them victims, which is what they are, but when you really kind of draw out that they're more victims of astronomy, it takes a little bit away from that in space. And I don't need that. I don't want that. I love that.
Yeah. Well, so because they all have personalities and they all are people now, and they had personalities from the start, apparently, what I want, like, again, you're right. We don't technically need a prequel with those characters. What I'm saying is, like, show how.
I mean, I get, like, what you're saying. Have a current, like, they're, you learn a little bit about what they're doing after this book, but you have flashbacks in there.
So the flashbacks, now that I'm thinking, I'm just thinking about this, and it is what it is, but, like, the flashback could be like Caron's or Astronomer's process of creating each one. Like, why was blue this? Why was green this? Why was pink this? And then you stick with them in the present day to show stories of them trying to find their way in the world as individuals and as a team. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But
it is what it is.
But I do like that little extra bit at the end. Because we never really got an origin of Psycho Green, which Psycho Green was like the test psycho.
Yep.
And so we get that and we find out that the Supersonic Rangers, this group that we don't know much about, although we do see them a little bit in the Legendary Battle.
Yep.
We do get a little bit of that. So that's not kind of a new thing that they invented. Obviously, it's really just one of the older Sentais that were never turned into Power Rangers.
Yeah.
But we, so we see this group of Rangers, and then we find out that the Green Psycho is a corrupted Power Ranger.
Yep.
Who murders his friends in cold blood, and then Dark Spectre turns him, uses that, and sort of manipulates him into the Green Psycho.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's
which common. I thought was, it was, a, it, well, yes, but he went willingly. I don't think.
Oh, no, no. Yeah, no. No. I make the side-handed comment that it's essentially Tommy in space, but no, it's absolutely not. It's a completely different thing. But yeah, no. Yeah, Psychopath, folks, check it out from Boom Studios. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to say about this one?
Absolutely love it. I mean, it is. I think it is one of the absolute best standalone series. You know, I like Soul of the Dragon. I think that was kind of a fun thing. But I think as far as like necessity, I think this is the gold standard of what Boom should do as it relates to all the other Power Rangers series, is take something like this, create a standalone. Let us revisit this world. Give us a little bit of closure and some, and answer a couple questions that were unanswered, and then move on. Like that's what this that's what this is. That's what they all should be.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, folks, we're gonna take a quick break. Come back to close the show after this.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geek Cast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Hi, I'm Terry Smith, the host of Music Talks, the podcast where I ask guests a simple but beguiling question. Choose a song from each decade of your life and tell me why these songs mean so much to you. Guests and listeners love this format, and if you want to find out why, then take a listen at musictalkspod.buzzsprout.com or use your favourite podcast app. Just search on Music Talks Terry Smith. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and... talk to me. Then send me a tweet at Music Talks Pod. I look forward to doing some music talking soon.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
Do you like retro cartoons? then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast.
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh, yes. Definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to The Last Comic Shop Podcast. Or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
I have broken Rita's evil spell, and now I step into the white light.
All right, folks, we are back here on episode 503 of The Pull Bag. 0 to 5, sir. What are you going to give it?
Oh, I'm going to give it a fucking 5.
Yep, same here.
Again, I thought artwork was solid, story solid. It knocked it out of the park. I mean, I really don't have any huge criticisms of this book at all. I enjoyed it from start to finish. It's a complex story. I don't know how you could have been done it better.
Yeah, I was surprised. I usually have one or two nitpicks or one or two things that really irk me in books and things like that. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a dang thing in here that stood out to me that was like, oh my God, why did they do that? Or, oh my God, why was that art choice made? Or, oh my, why did they say this line? Why did they? It was none of that. It was just a purely fun, awesomely written and drawn comic. Yeah. So, 5s all around.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a pickup. I have it in actual, trade paperback.
Mm-hmm.
When I first heard they were doing this, I was a little nervous because the Psycho Rangers, they're iconic.
Yep.
And they're also very two-dimensional. And so it's like, well, how do you get that essence and then actually make them full fleshed out characters? And they did. So,
yeah. Yeah. Mr. Alor was thinking very fourth dimensionally, wasn't he?
Yes.
All right, folks. You got anything you want to promote? I know you're not really in the promoting business anymore, but is there anything you want to talk about? Anything you want to bring up? Anything you want to shout out before I run through the closing?
No, I got nothing. I got some Power Rangers comics that I'm, diving into. I'm 3D printing up some Power Ranger fun stuff and otherwise just living my life off the grid. Well, not really off the grid, but, not in the media world anymore.
So. Yeah. All right, folks. God, something wrong with my throat. Edit. Thank you for joining us here inside the Bull Bag. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Spotify, where people have said you can leave reviews, but I only see Spotify using star ratings, but that's just whatever. It is what it is. Yeah. Any other podcast catching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio for the network, at the Pullbag for the show. I am at TFG1 Mike. What is your Twitter?
I'm at Jesse Rass, J-E-S-S-E-R-A-S. I'm on that. I'm that is on Instagram. And yeah, so either or.
Awesome. Awesome. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also check out the pull bag over there as well. Join us next time when Jesse and I will be taking another adventure, because we are going to be going through time and space, apparently.
Time for Time Force.
That's right. We're going to be talking about Sins of the Future from Boom Studios. Mm. And yeah, I now realize why it confuses you, because they're using time and space. Don't do that, folks. Just follow Doc Brown, or if you're not old enough to know who Doc Brown is, follow what the Avengers did in Endgame, please.
Yeah.
Money! Money! For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Jesse Ross! We've got to get you back to the future, Mike!
Yes, yes. As always, make your greatest game into comics, and we will catch you next time.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullback, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.